1-41-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on an action-packed weekend across Scottish football. Rangers keep the gap at 9 points with a win against Hearts, albeit a less than ideal performance. Celtic did not get it easy but do beat Kilmarnock away to stay top. And there were big wins for the likes of Motherwell, Aberdeen, St Mirren, Dundee United. But a grim run for Hibs continues. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, the man who for the second weekend in a row gets in trouble by putting his hands up, it's Andy Halliday, and alongside him is Roger Hanna.
Well, plenty to talk about, Gordon. It's like a funny weekend of great goals and great saves. You know, you think of Celtic, Nicholas Coon again scoring. Kasper Schmeichel shows what he can do. Aberdeen and St Mirren, some great goals. Ante Palaversa, Conor McMenamin with two big penalty saves from Dimitar Mitov and Ilari Balcom. And of course, Tawanda Maswanisi, what a great goal for Motherwell and a great save by Andy Halliday.
You quite finished? By the way, we're four minutes past six and we've not talked about Christmas yet. What's happening here? My tree's going up Friday.
Well, that's because...
You know we do Andy Halliday Christmas tree watch every year.
That's because it's early November.
It doesn't matter. Nonsense. Guy Foxnight's out the road, which means we're building up to Christmas. We can, of course, review the game.
Listen, at least they celebrate something.
Exactly. Some people go any length to avoid talking about their own misdemeanours on the football pitch. You got a win in the end, though.
We did. We can review the games for the weekend if you like. Scotland's big four getting wins. Rangers, Celtic, Aberdeen, and of course, the mighty Steelmen. I've got a Dundee night, they're doing okay as well. But yeah, another great win. Huge talking points. None more so than the massive one that came at Firth Park. An absolute disgrace. I can't wait for your VAR review meeting with Wally Colm to see what he's got to say about it.
Oh, I've had communications already.
Really?
The corridors of power are shaking.
What
at the
do you
thought
mean, really? That's Gordon Duncan and Wally Colm. I mean, they text each other back and forth.
He just pressed one and it automatically phoned Wally Colm.
We took time apart after the whole wardrobe debacle last time. But anyway, 01419511025. How was your weekend? And how was it influenced by your football team? If we start last night and work back, Rangers fans, you got a win. That tends to be a good thing. However, I detected a lot of dissatisfaction at the level of performance, maybe at some substitution decisions and all that sort of stuff. So let's go through it all. Now that the dust has settled, are you just happy to get the 3 points and move on? Or do you still have serious concerns about some of the performance level? Celtic fans, you did not get it easy. Were you worried at any stage, or has this team just got a slightly different mentality now when it comes to games like a trip to Kilmarnock? What did you make of it? Killy fans and neutral observers, if there is such a thing, you might have your say on Rio Hatate incident. Some people think he should have been sent off. Some people think yellow was fine. Liam Donnelly was in about the mix as well. So there's lots happening on the disciplinary front, if you fancy it. Andy Halliday's handball, since he mentioned it. Big wins, like we said, for a few teams, if you want to get involved there. And more than happy to think of it as a sort of therapy line for you Hibs fans. What's happening there? I did wonder. It's a really harsh statement, but you get to that stage of the season, you wondered if we would get here Monday night and there would be any change in the managerial position, but not so far. Give us all your thoughts there. 01419511025. Set the tone then, you two. Your result of the weekend, please.
I'm actually going to go for Aberdeen. They went briefly back to the top of the league on Saturday night with a 4-1 win against Dundee. You might think there's nothing remarkable about that, but off the back of that 6-0 hammering by Celtic at Hampden, I think it says a lot about Jimmy Tillane and his squad that they can bounce back and get a win like that.
For the first time this season, I'm not going to go Motherwell on a Monday after a win. I'm going to go St Mirren. I think it was a massive win. That's 7 points in the last three games. It now puts them into the top six. A couple of weeks ago, after the European exertions at the start of the year and a few obviously poor performances and results, you were starting to question, you know, what's this Stephen Robinson side going to look like towards this season? But good couple of weeks for them. Massive win and a lot of trouble for Hibs.
Goal of the weekend goes to...
I touched it at the top of the show, probably Nicholas Coon. It was a weekend of decent goals without any absolutely outstanding howitzers in the Premiership. So he's had a very, very good week and he topped it off with a clincher at Rugby Park.
The last couple of weeks we've been really spoiled for goals, I believe. But this week,
yeah,
not quite so much. But I'm going to go with Bezian, Aberdeen. I thought it was a fantastic goal. I think Bezian and Kevin Nisbet were only on the pitch a matter of seconds by the time they get that quick free kick straight after Dundee's goal. Quick thinking by Kevin Nisbet. more so the pass than the actual finish is probably why it's getting my goal, but great goal nonetheless.
Yeah, wonderful pass that, wasn't it? What about your howler of the weekend, Roger Hannah?
Oh, Roger, you've got to say it.
Yeah, okay. Martin Boyle's penalty miss for Hibs. The boys saying the show on Saturday, he missed one the day Jack Ross was sacked.
He did, Livingston, yeah.
He missed one again. Could have got Hibs back into the game at an acceptable hour. It was saved as well. Nicky Carden did get one. Nicky Carden then in a goal chalked off deep into added time. I'm not sure what Fraser Wishart's heart rate was doing at that stage when he's covering the game for Super Scoreboard on Saturday, but it's dire times for Hibernian.
Go on then. Are you actually going to give a refereeing decision against yourself as howler of the weekend?
I was. I'm amazed at Roger Never, but it's gave me the opportunity to go for myself, so I'm going to go for Ross Hardy and VAR for the decision to give a penalty against myself. Yep.
That it? What's your defence? You're on the stand.
Well, I'll go the tongue-in-cheek part and the real part. The real part, for what I gathered at the start of the season, that proximity's a big factor now, that they take that into account. Your elbow being tucked away from your body is also a big part. My elbow was tucked in, I think, if you look back and see. So a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I don't think it's a howler, but for what I was told...
That sounds like somebody backtracking in case he gets a Scottish FA
ban. Listen, for what I told was... for what I gathered for the meetings at the start of the season, I didn't think there'd be penalties this year.
You were there, Roger Hannah.
Well, from where I could see up at the back of the stand, it's difficult to tell. It was Graham Carey, wasn't it?
Yep.
I was sure I could see Graham Carey saying, "What did you do last Sunday, Andy?" And you went like that. And he hits the ball against your hand.
It's clever for him. Yes. Can I just mention his howler?
Roger Hannah's.
So, the fact, you talked about Nicky Cadden's disallowed goal. The fact that they never ruled that out for offside straight away could be the biggest howler of the season.
Yeah,
he was already 7 yards offside. Yeah. Why did that need to go to VAR?
He might even have touched it. No, did he touch it? The player in front of the goalie.
Yeah. He flicks off him, he's miles offside. Yeah.
So it's not like it was just one of those in the view of the...
So it was the most unnecessary team and fan celebration for a minute you'll ever see.
There we go. Anyway, I've not even finished yet. Top man, top performer of the weekend goes to...
St Mirren's Conor McMenamin. Hadn't scored in a year. Loads of injury woes. Back in the team. And two goals at Easter Road.
You're right. Last November was his last goal. And you,
Owen Stirton. Owen Stirton, 17-year-old academy prospect for Dundee United, making his SPL debut. A fantastic story on his own, getting on the 90th minute, so not a lot of time. But to then cap that off with a goal within a minute, as debuts goes, it's not too bad for the young man. So fair play.
He's a big passionate advocate of youth development, this guy. He's always looking out for them. So well done to Owen Stirton of Dundee United. Give us a call though. What is your main takeaway from the weekend's games? Whether it is good stuff that your team did, bad stuff that your team did, refereeing decisions, whatever it is, we are here for you. 01419511025 is the number. As always, you can tweet at Clyde SSB, but it's much better to do it old school on the phones, just like Gary in Blantyre. Take it away, Gary.
Hi, Gordon. And hi, again,
Andy and Roger.
Good evening, gents.
How are you doing, Gary?
Well, thanks. Obviously Celtic yesterday, going down to Rugby Park, which I think if I'm right, Brendan Rodgers in his first spell said you never see a good game of football on that pitch. Clearly we won the league up there back the end of last season. We played well that night, but yeah, it was just one of the games where you want to get into Rugby Park, get the points and get out without any kind of injury worries or anything like that. But like I said to your producer, I think sometimes because Celtic are playing at a level just now, like we've seen against Leipzig and Aberdeen last week, Celtic are where they are, and they've won what they've won because they've got the best mentality, they've got the fittest players, the whole package. I mean, they work harder than any other team. You would think that a team of players that have never won anything, and I mean that, they try so hard to win the next match and the next trophy. The mentality is just, it's so much better than anybody else's, and again, it's why they are where they are. Games like yesterday, tricky, but we went in there, took our chances, rode our luck a wee bit. But I never doubted we were going to win that game yesterday, which I think is a measure of where the team are.
Are you one of those, Gary, that buys that sort of theory that maybe that mentality wouldn't have been there previously? Could that have been drop points, you know, this time last year or whatever?
I don't know if the mentality is so much better. What I would say is that the team and the kind of the match winners we've got are maybe slightly better than the time maybe last year. I was in Turkey watching the Ross County match up in Dingwall. And I think it was there for maybe 75 minutes. We're still 1-0 down. But I never thought at any time during that game we weren't going to score two goals and win it. So again, it's just a measure of the we're the team I've kind of got the fans thinking. We just know they're going to keep going. But yeah, I don't think mentality's kind of improved that much. I just think that the match winners and the resilience maybe slightly improved.
What did you make of it?
It's funny. Listen, if you go down to Kilmarnock and you win 2-0, it has to be a good result. You know, Rangers lost there a couple of weeks ago, and at the end of the week Celtic had, I think it's an acceptable result. You know, they're not going to win 6-0 domestically every game. They're not going to put on the masterclass that they did against Leipzig in every game. Couple of changes, no Carter Vickers. You always wonder when there's no Carter Vickers at the back. I don't think they look as strong, but they got in to Kilmarnock, they get out of Kilmarnock, a clean sheet, 3 points, international break, top of the league. They can't really ask any more than that, Gordon.
Yeah, I think Gary made a good couple of points in terms of, you know, not only do they have an abundance in quality, Celtic, but they actually do work extremely hard. And again, I've talked about their humility to try and get the ball back, make sacrificial runs. But he mentioned that they're the hardest working team in the league by a mile. The effort that Kelly put into that 90 minutes was, I thought, was incredible to watch. To go man for man against any team's hard. To go man for man against a team, a Celtic's quality, pace, power, athleticism is even harder than that. And I thought they were excellent. I thought they made it a really, really competitive game. Again, the amount of times they stole the ball off of Celtic in certain areas of the pitch, something that we've not seen many teams do against this Celtic side. But again, to echo what Roger says, I think for any Old Firm team going to Rugby Park over the last 3-4 years, I think the result has always been paramount. I think especially after the efforts that Celtic have put in Europe. So I think to get any type of result and come away with a clean sheet, I think it's probably the most as well that Kasper Schmeichel's been called upon. I think he's looked really calm within the Celtic goal without being troubled too much in certain games. But he certainly showed his value at the team as well at the weekend.
Are you a Nicholas Kuhn convert, Gary, or are we always on board with him as a player? This was a big weekend for us. This was the weekend Hugh Keevans held his hands up and apologised for all the wrong things he had said about Nicholas Kuhn last season. What have you made of him?
Listen, see, if Nicholas Kuhn had come out last year, or Celtic came out and made the excuse of his teeth and about his weight loss and stuff, maybe you'd understand. But the fact he never done that, it does lead you to think, well, is this guy going to cut it in Scotland? Because it's so different from any other kind of big league in Europe. His numbers speak for themselves this year. I think it's 21 goal kind of goal involvements already for a guy playing in the right wing, if you like. He just looks totally transformed. I think one of you mentioned at the weekend or on Sunday, he looks faster, he looks stronger. I've said it to my mates last night, and I hope it's a long way away, but he could be another kind of north of £25 million player. And I know he's only kind of 11 games into the season, but he just, even against Leipzig, I mean, he was making some of their kind of multi-million pound players look very average. Just outstanding this season so far. He needs to keep it up.
He is faster and stronger. The reason for that is, you know, when he came, he had terrible dental health problems. He'd lost a lot of weight. That makes you weaker. It makes you slower. He said at the time, you know, once he got a full pre-season under his belt, he bulked up a little bit. It would help him. I think he has improved. It's interesting that, you know, I heard Gordon Dell speaking in one of his other shows last week that, if I think it was was he the last signing of the Mark Lawwell era? You know, a man who is pilloried by a lot of Celtic supporters. But, you know, you might be seeing the worth of it now. He's playing very well. I spoke to my friend Christopher from Ayrshire earlier on, who was starting the running for the Player of the Year award and thinks Nicholas Kuhn's a real early front runner to be Footballer of the Year.
He seemed to enjoy the game yesterday, Christopher from Ayrshire.
Yes.
Happy about everything that took place at Rugby Park, was he?
That you would need to define happy for me.
Give my wee phone. You know where we are, Chris, if you want to get involved. Andy, funnily enough, Nicholas Kuhn did miss a bad one by most people's standards, but by his. But that Gary mentioned that there, okay, maybe, yes, you can praise the mentality, but it can help when you've got proper match winners in there. Because Kelly will then, on the flip side of that, just be cursing some of the chances that they passed up.
Yeah, and listen, I think that, you know, you talked about match winners. I think Celtic's match winners yesterday did have an off game in terms of their standards when you look at Adamida and Maeda and Engels and these types of guys. But I think Kuhn looked like that one. It was always going to be that threat. He looked lively. But again, talking about the Kuhn of last year to the Kuhn of this year, I just think he's a lot more unpredictable, Gordon. I think There's so many times last year he was branded up playing the right hand side and always wanted to come into the, inside the pitch and made the game a lot more compact for himself. I think his goal yesterday sort of typifies the new Nicholas Kuhn, shall we say. Someone that's willing to run off the ball, run in behind, make it more difficult to play against, go outside, go inside. And again, any person that's played fullback and in defence will tell you, when you play against wingers like that, it's extremely difficult. But not only the numbers, I mean, 10 goals, 10 assists in November is ridiculous, but I think performances as well, it's been a massive improvement.
Thank you very much to Gary. In fact, Gary, before we let you go, I was just looking. Oh, he's gone. That's my fault. I've cut him off. Well, I didn't. I don't press any buttons, but you know what I mean. 01419511025. Let's start getting some managerial reaction. Brendan Rodgers speaking. He's praised the attitude of his team, and he claims that they would have been defeated in the same game last season.
I think we're in a really good place. I said the players before the game that in life it's really all about staying on your path, and sometimes that can be difficult, but by staying on it you get your rewards in the end. And I think this team is consistently staying on the path, learning, developing and improving, and playing some amazing football, but also having the dig and the bite that you need to keep clean sheets. So I think we're in a really good place. We obviously have a little break now, come back to an absolute ultra marathon spell where every single player will be needed. Just look at the games now, between now and February. There's no rest, there's no breather. But we're fit and ready for it. But it's so exciting. I think that some of the play that we've seen, some of the fight that we had today, I'm so pleased with that.
Let's bring in Stephen, who's on the line. How are you, Stephen?
Hiya, good. How are you?
Not bad.
I'm actually just getting my shot in there now.
Oh, nice. What are you in? Anything exciting?
Oh, a wee white loaf, a brown loaf, some chicken thighs, and
chicken thighs, Stephen. Superb.
I love it. There's the notion that somebody's next to Stephen, think, what's this guy up to? This guy's about to go and rant and rave about something potentially in the middle of, was it Tesco, Asda, other supermarkets are available.
Aye. So my point was about Derek McInnes and his comments regarding the kind of red card, potential red card incident. To play kind of devil's advocate, we'll say it was a red card, right? And it was a late challenge, right? It was quite high, but obviously he was kind of pulling out. Why was he not as forthcoming, these comments about the incident with Liam Donnelly on Casper Schmeichel, or the Adam Eder, like, bloody nose, which you could probably say was a red card?
We'll go through them then. First of all, Rio Hatate, red or yellow for you?
I'm going to sort of buck the trend here and go with the referee. I'm not sure there was enough force in it to completely justify a red card. Had it been a red card, I'm not sure VAR would have overturned it. But when it's a yellow card, I don't think they would overturn it either. So I'll give you two examples recently. Lisandro Martinez of Manchester United on Cole Palmer of Chelsea, given as a yellow card, and VAR backed it up. Bruno Fernandes of Man United, he was guilty of one at Old Trafford recently. He was
got sent off,
but won the appeal against it. All very similar challenges. If it had been a red card, it was a red card.
So basically, but whatever the initial decision was, you don't think you can contradict it with VAR?
No,
sort of thing.
I don't think there's enough in it. Right. Wasn't one that appalled me.
Andy?
I feel it's a bit of a long-winded answer, this one, for me. The way, you know me, I don't think anything's a red card. So the fact it's a yellow card, don't mind it at all. I don't think there's a lot of force. Yes, his leg's extended. Yes, it's very high. But I think,
well, the high bit is what is making people think it's a red, isn't it?
But for me, I think if he follows through on that with his legs still extended, I think that will imply the force, and I think it would make it be a lot worse than it actually is. I think you can see after he almost makes the contact, he is trying to, you know, pull away. But what I will say is, I'm really surprised it wasn't given as a red with the way the game's
once I see it back,
how high the challenge actually is. But similar to Roger, I don't mind the fact it's a yellow, because I don't think there's a whole load of force in it.
I think, because back to really that really boring, frustrating bit that does annoy everybody, I think, for VAR about sort of what is required for intervention. And again, maybe we will hear the audio on that one, I don't know. But, you know, if, as a hypothetical, if the referee's saying, well, I've seen that, and I've seen the contact and I know he's got him high, but I don't think there's enough intensity there or force. Can the VAR contradict that?
Yeah.
Whereas on the other hand, if the ref says, oh, I think he's caught him in the foot, the VAR can go, oh, actually, well, I think you'll find.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's what makes it the clear and obvious error. But ultimately, most people are just interested in, was it yellow, was it red, and then what that outcome looks like. So you didn't have any heart and mouth over it, Stephen? What do you think? You think it could have been red?
Do you know something? If it had been red, it's just one of those things. It happens. Obviously, it's no ideal as a Celtic supporter because Rio's been really, really good over the last kind of few games. But if it happens, it happens. I just find like his kind of comments came across as a bit of a sore loser, if I'm being honest. Like, aye, come on, we're pretty decent. But another thing, that pitch is totally stinking. It's not a good pitch. The ball doesn't move on it, so it's kind of hard. It's hard to kind of play from Celtic's point of view the way they want to play, especially when you maybe have to put a bit more power on the ball to get it to the player. When in training, when they're training on grass, they don't have to do that. So it's obviously slightly different.
Yeah, I think to be fair, Brendan Rodgers was the one on Friday that said, "Well, I can't use the pitch as an excuse when we went and played so well on it last season and won and wrapped up the title." But then you would take Stephen's point and think most of us watch, whether it's yesterday or most games, and think that, you know,
it looks as if we'll be playing in it next season as well, doesn't
exactly.
it? I think, and the way the rules stand currently, Stephen, the plastic pitches have to be up by the summer of 2026. Come on, we're going to lift it this summer. They're now not going to lift it this summer, and there now seems to be a move among teams potentially coming up. You could have a situation at the end of the season that Falkirk and Livy come up both with plastic pitches.
I did not realise we were so late for this break, but very quickly, since Stephen raised it, Adam Eda, elbow in the beak.
No red card for me.
Yellow, okay.
Yellow.
Roger.
I'm going to defend the ref again, yellow.
And Liam Donnelly and Kasper Schmeichel.
Yellow, but I think Liam Donnelly is very fortunate, sorry, he doesn't actually make contact with Kasper Schmeichel.
I completely agree. We can have a discussion about intent later on. I think he's the luckiest of them all.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. Enjoy your shopping. If you're in the vicinity, make sure Stephen's got his club card ready. Don't want him missing out. 01419511025. What about you, Rangers fans? How do you look back on last night? We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here looking back on the weekend's action. We looked at the game at Rugby Park yesterday. Neither of the guys are too concerned about the yellow card given to Reo Hatate. They say they would understand the red. One of them, they're somewhere in the middle. What do you think? You can keep that debate going if you want, or you can switch focus. There were lots of other big games from the weekend as well. And with that in mind, let's bring in Gordon, who's on the line. How are you, Gordon?
Hi, how we doing?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Oh, a penny for my thoughts, I tell you.
We're here for you. Take it away.
Right, it was, I tried to call in yesterday. I was at Ibrox yesterday. I tried to call in yesterday on the way home. And it was one of the points that you had a couple of callers, one left after 73 minutes and one got to half-time.
You missed this. There was a competition last night. That is, as Gordon quite rightly says, first guy, 73, next guy, well, I can beat that. I left at half-time. I felt if we'd extended the show, somebody would have said they'd left after 7 minutes. But we were... You're not going to come on and beat that tonight, are you, Gordon?
Definitely. I can go one better. Both my son and myself are season ticket holders. I don't play it. My wife and my daughter are season ticket holders at Parkhead.
Ooh.
Right? My son refuses to go, so he doesn't even turn up.
He doesn't need to worry about when he's leaving because he's not going.
He doesn't have to leave because he just refuses to go because they said they're that garbage, he's not going to watch it. And see, on that point, my boy plays football, right? He's 16. I have more fun going to watch my boy playing football than watching that drab that Rangers are serving up right now. They are so bad. It is unbelievable.
What's so bad about it?
Everything. There's no cohesion. There's no intensity. There's nothing. There's no game plan. There's no structure. They're running about like headless chicken. It's ridiculous.
Rangers won last night, but you know, clearly it's a different bar. You're expected to do it in a certain way. And you maybe get away with it if it's the odd game. It's clearly becoming a recurring theme for these guys who leave at 73 or half time or don't go at all. We had another guy who switched it off and started playing his PlayStation at half time last night. What did you take away from it?
It's a tough watching Rangers at the minute. They're a bizarre team. Hugh described them on the show on Saturday as an enigma, because they can go away to the Conference League holders, Olympiacos, on Thursday night and look really composed and look really confident and completely deserve a draw in the Europa League. And they're well positioned in the Europa League and probably get through to the last 24 in the Europa League. But domestically, and Andy saw it firsthand a week past on Sunday at Hampden, they're pedestrian. There is no intensity, as Gordon says. They go 1-0 up. Now, if a team goes 1-0 up after 6 minutes at home, you expect them to kick on and sort of push for a second goal and raise the intensity, raise the tempo, gain a bit of confidence, gain belief, you know, try and play on the front foot. And they don't do any of that. And Hearts had the majority of possession. Hearts had the majority of the chances after Desser's goal. Hearts thoroughly deserved a point if they'd got it. I mean, Neil Critchley must have been tearing his hair out, wondering, you know, how they got away from there without a point. And, you know, they're just sort of limping from one week to the next. They've got a home game next against Dundee United a week on Saturday. And I don't know whether Gordon's son will go or whether Gordon will go. But if they do go, I would expect more of the same.
Andy, what was your take on it? Like I said, it was another one of those nights where Rangers won the game, but we had for a full hour just like wall-to-wall complaints really about the performance level.
Yeah, listen, I don't think it's going to be a performance that silences any Philippe Clement doubters, that's for sure. Again, kind of similar to what you said against Celtic off the back of Europe, you almost feel it more often than not, the results most important, but Hearts are off the back of a European exertion on Thursday night as well, and I thought they looked the more fresher team. I thought they looked as if, you know, they played with a clear game plan, a clear style. And again, I just thought it was a really, really hard watch. I can't remember the last time a team outside Celtics went to Ibrox and had more possession. I find that hard to believe, but not when you're watching, because it seemed to me like, you know, for large periods of game, Hearts had a lot more control. I don't think Hearts offered a lot, to be honest with you, in the final third, out with Vargas's shot that hits the post. It was the Benny Beningame curler, the shot back pass for Suter, but without
the one that,
that
Vargas goes through. One goal in the first half because of the Suter back pass.
Yeah, the back pass, yeah. So out with that, I thought Rangers were fairly comfortable out of possession, but in possession offered very, very little. I mean, Rangers have scored the same amount of goals as St Johnstone this season. St Johnstone are 10th in the league. You actually look at the bottom three just now. Hibs are bottom of the league, Hearts are second bottom, St Johnstone. Rangers games against them at home. Scraped by Hearts 1-0, very lucky to do so. Scraped by Hibs 1-0, very lucky to do so. Max Kurachev misses a penalty and make it one each. St Johnstone was a 2-0 game. I think me and you did the Monday after again. Similar to what we're saying just now, got the result, not a great performance.
You got any signs, Gordon, that it could turn? Or do you think this is it?
To be brutally honest with you, I really don't, because I genuinely don't think that Philippe Clement is the man for Rangers. When he first came in, he spoke a lot of sense. He was brutally honest, straight to the point. But see now, he keeps going on about part of the story. It's not a story. It's a nightmare that we're in.
It's funny, you were talking to Fraser Wishart on the show on Saturday about David Gray and his position at Hibernian.
Which, by the way, just quickly, breaking news, a statement from Hibs tonight backing the manager, which is very interesting stuff. Well, so if you've any thoughts, Hibs fans, get them in. But sorry, as you were.
You were discussing that one of the things that leads to problems for the manager is when supporters turn on the board. Another thing that causes problems for the manager is when supporters don't turn up at all. And if they're becoming, you know, the few empty seats at Ibrox become a lot of empty seats, become empty rows, become empty sections, because people like Gordon's son don't want to go and watch it, then that turns up a bit of heat in Philippe Clement.
I also think, sorry Gordon, I don't know if you're looking to move on there, but I also think saying stuff like it's a young squad, his average age was 27. They've got Cyril Dessers, Jack Butlin, James Tavernier, Leon Balogun, Cherney, guys that are 27 and older. The team isn't that young. You're expecting to see a lot more improvement within the 11 league games or 12 league games that Rangers have played.
Listen, supporters are powerful. Think back to the Ronnie Dyle era at Celtic, you know, when Celtic closed the top tier at times because supporters didn't want to go and watch the football, and he was successful and he won things, but the fans didn't like the football, and eventually the club decided they needed to get a manager in who would bring football that the fans wanted to watch. This is maybe history repeating itself.
Is the frustrating thing, particularly last night, Gordon, that Rangers did score early? So I think Roger touched on it earlier. There shouldn't be that sort of nervousness that the game is, you know, not going the way you want. You actually do the right bit really early, score, and then for the remainder of the game, it never really looks like, you know, taking off.
100%. It was just, it's been so bad. I've not left Ibrox once this season and thought, you know, Rangers played no bad there. Not once. Even when I went to Hampden, they were just as bad at Hampden as they have been at Ibrox. And like that, I can't understand how, when it comes to European football, Rangers can perform and reach levels that they just don't seem to be able to do domestically. And I understand that European-style football is completely different from Scottish football, because teams turn up, in Europe, teams are they're more open and they're willing to have a go and play football, which suits Rangers. They're suited to a more European style. But when it comes to performing domestically, they're miles off it, and I mean miles off it. Mm-hmm. And I have not left Ibrox once enjoying any part of playing decent football, because there's not been any.
Educate me on this, Andy, because Gordon's right, loads of people say that, and the results kind of back it up. Rangers just always seem to look more comfortable in Europe, and then I'd imagine the reason for that, people boil it down to, as Gordon says, the game's more open, there's more space, that suits Rangers. When you're trying to break down a low block, it's harder, all that sort of stuff. But you've just said it, Hearts had more of the ball than Rangers last night. So this notion that it's like black and white, open or not, Europe or domestic, is it that simple?
I think for the most part I do, because I think if everyone was to say what's Rangers style play under Fluke, come on, I think they would say pretty direct. I think everyone would agree that they are really direct. I'd use Olympiacos on Thursday, for example. Such was the line Olympiacos' back four, Rangers being direct allowed Dessers in behind, sure, and on goal, getting one-on-ones with the goalkeeper for straight long balls, not really much to contend or deal with. I think that in domestic football for Rangers, it's Dessers competing with a centre-half, it's fighting for second balls, it's trying to regain control with the ball in the final third in that way. So I think for the most part, yes, but obviously in the case of yesterday, it's like I says, I can't remember the last time I've seen a team go and have such control for large periods of the game, second half especially. The 90% of the second half, Hearts had control of it, felt like. Now, St Mirren went to Ibrox, I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, and had periods of possession where you thought, expecting Rangers to have more of an emphasis to go and get the ball back and have more control of the game. But in terms of what we've seen yesterday, was completely different. I've not seen that for a while.
Let's ask Chris his thoughts. Thank you to Gordon. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
Good. Here, what are you thinking then?
I'm just looking at the... You're just pick up a quick point here. Mm-hmm. I've not seen a team going to Ibrox and having that much position. Did Hearts win?
No.
Right, exactly. So it doesn't matter how you win, is you win. That right, that's I played football over in America, semi-professional, everything. It doesn't matter if you win with a style or if you win, you get 3 points. You don't get an extra point for style.
But Gary, they're 9 points behind, so they're not winning enough. Chris, sorry.
Chris, by the way. Aye, they're not winning enough, but the teams that they've lost to are better than us right now, which is fair enough. We have no God-given right to be better than anybody, right? But in Europe, have we been that much better, really? In terms of style, in terms of build-up play and all that, have we been that much better, really, than what we have been in the league? No, we haven't.
I thought the performances in Malmo and in Olympiacos were better than the performance at home. Stoy was better, Chris.
And they were better, but have they been that much better? That's my point, and that sense of it. But anyway, I digress. My main point is, you've got guys on, previous caller coming on saying that he's some only going watch and there's people leaving at 50 minutes and 70 minutes. You're not a supporter then. If you support a team, you support them. I say to your producer, they'll support and goes, I'll support my legs if they support me, right? You don't need to be great in every game, and we've been pretty horrific in a lot of games, but we've still won a lot of games.
Well, you can be optimistic. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but we're commenting, obviously, the debate is is that a performance? Is that a result to silence the doubters? Like, come on, I don't think it is. I mentioned the stat earlier. St John's have been 10th of the league. Rangers scored the same amount of goals as them. Celtic, Aberdeen, Dundee United, St Mirren and Dundee have all scored more goals than Rangers after 11 games. So for me,
most of them have played more, just to be accurate, but you're not.
Yeah, a game or two more, yeah. But for me, that is sort of gauging on a lot of the callers' frustration that they're not happy with the product of the football they're watching. Yes, they've had wins. You know, they beat Hearts 1-0, which is obviously great. It's the most important thing to get the result. But in terms of what the Rangers fans are going as a product of football, they're not happy with. And I take it you disagree.
They're not great. We don't have like a style, if you will. Like Brendan Rodgers' Celtic team have a phenomenal style of play. Like they're fast, they're direct, and they play through the line and they score goals. Right, but
why can't Rangers have that?
Because we're just not that good.
But Aberdeen, you think Aberdeen individually are a better team than Rangers? Do you think they have better players?
At the moment, why is it individually a team game?
No, but what I'm saying is, you said in terms of Rangers' quality, so I'd imagine you're talking about their quality in terms of their individuals. Do you think Aberdeen individually have better players than Rangers? Or do you think they've got a manager that's getting the best out of their players?
It could be a bit of both. In some of their positions, yes, they have a lot, they have better quality, but they have a manager that's getting the best out of their players. Now, we can say about the manager of Rangers how 12 months not getting this, that, the next thing out of Rangers. When was the last manager did get something out of the Rangers players? No matter who they've had in the team. When was the last manager? Probably Steven Gerrard, maybe.
Well, yeah, that was two managers ago. I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst getting them to a Europa League final was a pretty big achievement as well. Yes, are they better than Celtic? No, they're not better than Celtic.
Did he finish the job?
Sorry?
Did he get his deal? Did he just finish the job?
Listen, I think getting to Europa League final is a fair achievement. You're talking about getting the best out of the team. I think getting them to Europa League final was pretty impressive.
Like, did he get us all the way there, or did he just finish the job? It's like people thought that Scotland, Steve Clark, got us to the Euros, but he finished the job at McLeishton, for example. Right, but my point being is, we don't have a manager that's getting the best out of the players. But everybody's just turning around and blaming the manager. It's not just his fault. We have good players, but are they getting played in their best positions? Some of them probably not. Are they getting played in the best formation? Possibly not, but he's doing what he has to do to get the best out of the players that he's got, because he spent money. Bill spent money. Van Bronckhorst spent money. And they didn't get anywhere close to where they should be. But it's a game of, like, you support the team. It doesn't matter if they're playing bad, playing good, indifferent. Look at Ross County, Motherwell, for example, Hearts, Hibs. Doesn't matter. You support the team that you've got in the park.
I think we could go around in circles and that, because people also on the flip side pay their money and can kind of do what they like, but you know what I mean. Yeah. If they want to leave, they can leave. I do take the more general point from Chris, and we'll need to agree to disagree, because it's time for me to tell you about this.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £300,000.
Andy Halliday's told you he's in Christmas mode already. Ridiculously early for me, but whatever. £300,000 into your bank account this Friday. I know you like the sound of it, so text YES to 61025. 250 to text, plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close 5pm Friday. It's so simple. You just need to answer the phone, and the 300,000 is yours. So text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday's here, Roger Hannah alongside him. 0141 951 1025. I don't mind just being honest and, like, letting you in on the secrets of the show. I am so off with taking these breaks tonight that we are almost ready to play Beat the Pundit already.
No way.
It's when you mess up the first one, then you mess up the second one, and you know,
domino effect.
It is a proper domino effect, believe me. We're about to play Beat the Pundit, but we can squeeze one in. Well, it will be, there's no doubt. Let's squeeze a call in. Joe is in Carntyne. How are you, Joe?
I am fine, mate. How are you?
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
I was thinking tonight, when I called in earlier, it was about, I was planning to speak about last week with Andy. I know Andy's on the show tonight, and I was planning to give him a wee bit of pellets for his non-celebration last week.
I was on last week, Joe.
Oh, I might have missed the show.
Oh, no, he fronted up, don't you worry. I saw someone said, and we had a bit of back and forth, it was all in good spirit, but someone tweeted me to say, can't believe he was forced into a grovelling apology live on radio, and I thought, that's not what happened. But to be fair, he sort of admitted that it was all a bit tongue in cheek.
I did hear that on the show. Andy, I did hear Andy coming back on the show and saying, I put my hands up and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
But for me, if you're he did me the first substitution after that.
I agree, Joe. I was chopping things at the telly.
His problem is he keeps putting his hands up now, Joe. Exactly. This is the problem.
Handball. What else is on your mind, Joe?
I appreciate that. You remind me because I've stepped to the house now.
Well, I don't know.
My first point was I spoke to your producer and explained my first point, and that was to do with. Oh, it's just because I've stepped to the house, mate.
That's fine. Listen, we can just. Are you off to anywhere nice?
You know, just do the bookies, so...
Please gamble responsibly. We'll go back to Andy. Can we just talk about Andy Halliday's celebration last week if you want?
Kid me, you aren't that bothered.
Do you know what I also thought was interesting as well? Just a kind of semi-serious point, because then I saw your manager spoke about it on... Mm-hmm. Was it Friday? Because that's his first press conference.
Yeah.
And this is where nasty journalists like Roger Hannah and I just don't see the fuss, because it's kind of how the news cycle works. Like, it's the first time you see Stuart Kettlewell, you're bound to ask him about it because there's been a big deal made of it, rightly or wrongly, whether the big deal's made of it. And then it was probably nice for you, I'd imagine, and others who were on your side to hear him stick up for you, so to speak. Yeah. But then I saw people saying, I can't believe people are still talking about this. And it's like, well, that's not really the point, is it? Because if you feel that Andy's been hard done by, surely it's nice to hear the manager stick up for you, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, that was nice, yeah. It is a case of, we're still talking about this, but I know that's just the nature of the world. But,
I mean, to be fair, we weren't tonight. I had no plans. I genuinely didn't until Joe phoned in about something else. He's forgotten what it was. He's going to the bookies, so he wants to just talk about the celebration.
I'm a big
instead.
Boy. I can handle it. Luckily, I hate to tell you, Joe, see if I scored against Rangers again, I wouldn't celebrate. There you go.
Luckily for Joe, I did say it would be a quick call anyway. Joe, if you remember what you actually wanted to speak about, do feel free.
We got Liam Gordon's input today, didn't he?
I'm still trying to think about what my first...
Joe, go back in the house in case you've left the point.
Honestly,
there.
I don't have all night, so we can get back to. Give us a call back later. You're right. I met Andy earlier, and he was speaking to Liam Gordon there, who said he wouldn't have celebrated against St Johnson. We are still talking about it. Actually,
do you know why he done that? Okay, a wee secret here. So you know we do team fines for like social media stuff and like wee bit of laugh, wee bit of tongue in cheek. He got fined for doing a lap of honour, himself when we beat St Johnson at Perth a couple of months ago. That's worse than me not celebrating, surely.
You're a pantomime villain. I think you've got to take that.
Listen, you can take it, can you?
You've got to take that.
Gordon Dale would love to be a pantomime villain.
Apparently you heard this. He's genuinely, shameless as he is out there, he's putting like a public service announcement out because he wants to be in panto. And we reckon
can I tell you what? I'd buy a ticket if he was.
Do you not think he is? He's getting that size of profile now. He's a kind of cult hero in Glasgow.
That could force me to go watch a pantomime.
I think he could be recruited. He's probably too late for this year. I reckon rehearsals have started, but next year.
Anyway, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Genuinely think that might be a first. We've kind of seen and heard it all. Been doing this show a long time, but it might be the first time someone's phoned in and then just hands up said they can't remember what they wanted to discuss. Listen, these things happen, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
who am I to judge? It's Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to take on Andy Halliday, because the coin never lands on
you
Roger.
You may as well just say the coin of justice.
Do you know that you
won't like what I'm about to tell you here, Andy? A man approached me on licensed premises the other day and said that on a Monday when Gordon Duncan tosses the coin, tosses it up, has a look, and then puts it on his arm like that. Yeah?
All right.
Other nights, he tosses it, puts it in his hand, and goes with that.
Oh, and that? Rather than that.
Now, I've never seen this before, but a regular YouTube viewer of this show said to me, that's why Andy Halliday's always on a Monday night.
Can I tell you something? Do you want me to tell you why you've never seen it? because that's never happened.
No,
I've only got one tossing technique.
I'm going
me.
Back on every Beat the Pundit on YouTube that has been this season.
Knock
if
yourself
I see
out.
That, that's no right.
Knock
Mr.
yourself
Duncan.
Out. Pause your Christmas films. Go and watch them
no,
all back.
I can't do that. I'll do it during
but
watching
no
the Christmas
chance.
Film.
It's always flick into the palm and onto the back of the left hand, which I usually then show straight to the pundit.
That's certainly how you do it on a Monday. I'm only going because the audience tells me.
I like that. I love a conspiracy theory.
Lines close at 7. Hurry up. We'll play next. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, both waiting for your call, so do get in touch. If you missed the first hour, I will forgive you, but let's make up for it in the second hour. We spoke about Rugby Park yesterday, the Celtic grit to get over the line, Nicholas Coon being somewhat of a match winner, a bit of debate about Rio Hatate's challenge. Should it have been a red? Should it have been a yellow? What do you think? Give us a call right now on that, please. Rangers fans, there's a competition running to see who left Ibrox earlier. Earliest last night by the looks of things. We did have one defender there saying that it's all a bit over the top and supporters need to get behind the team. I know there were boos apparently when Conor Barron was taken off. What did you make of that decision? We've not heard from Philippe Clement yet, so we'll do that if you want to jump on board with your calls and anything else. We said breaking news tonight, Hibs have issued a statement backing David Gray, standing by their man. Is that the right call or the wrong call for you? Motherwell fans, 7 points better off than last season. You want to discuss that with Andy Halliday and talk about your lofty league position? He is here for it. And anything else, do it now and we'll speak to you after this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. Do you want to tell them or shall I?
I think you should.
So, you should tell them. We argue about this every Monday. You shouldn't, it's a running theme, it's a bit of a frustrating one where it always lands on Andy Halliday. It genuinely always does. It's heads. So Andy always plays, Roger never does. Some guy who's got too much time in his hands reckon I toss it to differently on a Monday night.
Yep.
To make it land on heads. I don't really know how you could do that. So for a bit of fun, because that's the sort of wacky guys we are, we had a wee experiment during the break.
Yep.
And you both watched. Mm-hmm. I repeatedly tossed this very coin.
Yep.
How many heads in a row did it land on?
9.
What is the deal with that? Can somebody explain this to me?
It's
supposed to be the ultimate sort of exercise of chance of 50-50.
It's also the year where everyone wants to see the minus two, man.
But
am I not getting a chance?
But forget about competition conditions. During the break, it just went 9 heads in a row. What is the deal?
Bonkers.
Try anyway tonight. Mark is in Falkirk. How's it going, Mark?
Not too bad.
Have you ever played before?
Never, no.
No, okay. Let's toss the coin, find out how it's going to go. It is actually heads.
No, I'm not.
No. But do you know what? No, for the first time ever, I think executive decision. Roger, you need to play. But it is genuinely, the camera won't pick it up from there, but it is actually heads. What is going on?
That's ridiculous.
That's mad.
Roger, just play. I never do this. And I'm annoyed because I feel like this has shattered the illusion, because I don't want people thinking that we can choose. It's usually the coin that decides.
Mm-hmm. The coin of justice.
But I'm going to make an executive decision. This is just, it's just
if you want me to play, I'll play it by a few.
It's just too far, isn't it?
Don't mind it.
But Roger Hanna starts on minus two though. Mark, see, that's an interesting.
I'm worried now. Mark's with Falkirk. They win every week.
They do. Absolutely. Mark's not a Falkirk fan though. He's just from there.
No.
Right, what we'll do is give
like producer John just pretends to be.
Yeah, give Roger something else to listen to so that we can't tell him what's going on. Mark, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Horacio Casanueiro is on loan to Rangers from which club?
St Etienne.
Who was the youngest scorer in the Premiership at the weekend?
Pass.
Justin Deveney moved to Crystal Palace from which SPFL club?
Brighton.
Name any Scottish Premiership manager who played for the club they manage.
Stuart Kettle.
What League One team is nicknamed after an insect?
Pass.
Brian Laudrup joined Rangers from which club?
That's embarrassing.
Just guess a team.
Ajax.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, can you hear us? Are you ready?
Yeah. Yep.
Minus two. You need to be bang at it here.
Oh, go quick.
You ready?
Yep.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Horacio Casanueiro is on loan to Rangers from which club?
Feyenoord.
Who was the youngest goal scorer in the Premiership at the weekend? Justin Deveney moved to Crystal Palace from which SPFL Airdrie. Club? Name any of the Scottish Premiership managers who played for the club they manage.
Oh, Don Cowie.
What League One team is nicknamed after an insect?
Pass.
Brian Laudrup joined Rangers from which club?
AC Milan.
Who were the last SPFL club to drop into the Lowland League?
Albion Rovers.
Okay, okay, okay. What are you thinking, Mark? Have you done enough?
Not any time.
Mark was pretty down about his own performance. Yep. I thought you could have been better as well. I have to say, Roger Hannah.
Insects of wasps.
Noratio Casemiro on loan from Feyenoord. He's back to minus one. Owen Sturton was the youngest scorer on the Premiership. We're level, nil-nil. We're up and running. Justin Deveney moved to Crystal Palace from which SPFL club is Airdrie. How good a story is that, by
it's
the
fantastic,
way?
Fantastic, yeah.
We spoke about it on Saturday, Mark, and it's one of those things, if you hadn't heard about it, it's not like it's common knowledge, but Justin Deveney was at Broomhill.
Yeah, in the Lowland League.
Not the time you were involved, was he?
No.
No, Teddy was involved.
Well, I was asking if Andy knew him. went to Airdrie, played a couple of times at the start of last season, and now starting games for Crystal Palace in the English Premier League.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. Anyway, remember it for next time, Mark, because Roger's now one up. He then goes two up. I thought you would go the obvious ones, David Gray.
Yeah.
But Don Cowie, Premiership managers who played for the club they manage. Going back a bit, you had, you know, Barry Robson did it, Stephen Naismith, Stevie Hamill. You know, it was all in fashion for a while, but we're down to David Gray or Don Cowie. The insect team is Alloa Athletic, the Wasps. Roger didn't get it. Brian Laudrup?
Fiorentina,
Roger Hannah. Surprised at you. I thought that was peak Hannah knowledge.
Yeah, he was on loan at AC Milan.
And but he's still miles in front. And then the last SPFL club to drop into the Lowland League was indeed Albion Rovers. 1-2-3-4 5-0 to Roger Hannah. Take off his two. He still wins 3-0. Yep. He was comfortable, Mark. Stage fright? Questions too hard?
I didn't expect to get through, to be honest.
I didn't. If I'm being right, I'll let you. I'm letting him off with a couple, because one of them, see, if you just don't know Owen Sturton's name, you don't know it. And the sort of the Justin Deveney one again, but Casemiro. Nah, you've got to get it, Mark. Got to be getting it. What are your thoughts? I know you're a Rangers fan, that's why I said it. How are you feeling about things at the moment?
It's not too bad. I'm not too worried. I mean, I get the hype with Tav and the stuff that's going on, but I'm not convinced that it's as bad as everybody's making it.
Yeah, what makes you say that? Because I've always said I'm delighted to just hear alternative views at times.
I think the squad as a whole is coming along nicely. I mean, we've got a couple of centre halves that can slot in now, and I mean the midfield's looking not too bad. Barden and Raskin are wee engines in there, and I love that. Casemiro, I like Bajrami. I don't know, it's not as bad as everybody's suggesting.
That's fair. Like I said, I don't mind hearing the alternative view, Roger. I wonder if part of the frustration, Andy, came last night from, is a different style from Europe, that you're then tired because of Europe. But on the back of Thursday, I saw a lot of excitement about, oh, Barron and Raskin. I think, well, maybe that's something. Because understandably, Rangers fans are clinging to things at the moment. And then last night, there wasn't really any midfield control. James Tavernier, we've done that subject to death at times, but it keeps developing because he does go out the team, but then he starts again last night and then he comes off. So it just feels like the perceived steps forward that were taken on Thursday then maybe didn't come to fruition last night.
Yeah, well, in reference to the Barron and Raskin, I think what was lauded about their performance on Thursday was off the ball. So it was how well they turned the ball over against Olympiacos, and then in all fairness, it was probably similar to what they'd done yesterday. Didn't offer, you know, a huge amount. They weren't exactly creating chances and, you know, threading passes through for 90 minutes or 60 minutes in Barron's case, which I'm surprised we've not had a call about yet. But in terms of the work rate off the ball and their willingness to turn the ball over for Rangers, I think they've been excellent at that. James Tavernier one was a no-brainer for me. You're playing Hearts at home, a game where you're expected to attack and obviously expect to have loads of the ball and create chances and score goals, and James Tavernier playing the Olympiacos one didn't surprise me as much off the back of the Motherwell game, a game you're probably expected to defend a little bit more, be caught in 1v1 situations, which I think that's why Dejan Sterling got the nod.
The manager got a bit of stick for taking Conor Barron off, Mark. Is that harsh, do you think, or do you agree with the booing of the sub?
baffled me a wee bit because Barron could run for 120 minutes, I think, personally. But I don't know, maybe so just tighten up the defence a wee bit. But I can't even remember who he brought on for him.
Sterling,
when you're getting Dujon Sterling, it's like he's a unit, isn't he?
Clement does seem to put a great deal of faith in the information from the sports science department.
Let's hear the answer on that, just so that we get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, here. Because the war, I mean, it was audible booing by all accounts, you know, when the eight went up on the board. So, but here's what Philippe Clement had to say on Conor Barron.
I understand fans are fans and they don't know all the facts. And they see Conor also, and he deserves that, as one of the symbols of this new squad, this new team. I spoke also with a lot of praise about him the last couple of weeks in that way. But it's also my job to manage him in a good way, that he don't get injuries, that he don't get overused. So he was tired after a massive week with a lot of distance that he ran, a lot of duels that he did, long travel, everything. And we could put Dujon in the midfield to win the duels and then to go forward out of that. So I understand that fans don't understand every detail about that. And they want to see the best players of the last couple of weeks all the time on the pitch, but it's also my job to see that they can stay on the pitch. I think the fans would be more disappointed if he was injured at the end.
So what's your take on all that, Roger?
I might be naive and old-fashioned in this. Callum McGregor at 31 or 32 played 90 minutes of a cup semi-final, 90 minutes of a Champions League game, and 90 minutes in the plastic pitch at Kilmarnock, scoring a goal. Didn't look especially tired when he came off yesterday. I don't see how Conor Barron, and this is no slighting Conor Barron, he's playing very well. I think Conor Barron would have wanted to have played 90 minutes of a cup semi-final, 90 minutes in Europa League, and 90 minutes at Ibrox yesterday. I think if the sports science department tell players they're tired, players will feel tired. I don't buy into it at all. If the players are tired, the players can go to the sports science department and say, listen, I'm a bit tired, I'm a bit fatigued, you know, I might need, you know, you might need to manage my minutes. I don't think for a minute guys like Jeffrey, who was left out of the game last week, or Barron, I don't see how they can't play two games a week. I really don't.
And watching the game, Conor Barron definitely didn't look tired. He was his usual industrious self. He was getting around the pitch well. I don't know if it is a sports science related message, or was he carrying a knock after the Olympiacos game?
I know it's a different position. Davy Weir won championships and cups at 41 playing for Rangers. Now, I know he didn't cover as much ground as Conor Barron. He never missed a game. He played every week for 90 minutes at 41. So you're not telling me 20 and 21 year olds like Jeffrey and Conor Barron can't play two games a week. I'm not having it.
Is it another sort of example, Andy, though, of when things aren't going well, then, you know, as an example, if Rangers are top of the league and are flying and performances are good and you take Conor Barron off, no one cares. But the Rangers fans are already frustrated. They've gone in front. They've not built on it. The game, if anything, looks more like Hearts might score. A couple of people tweeted me to say, what do you mean Hearts didn't have a shot on target? Yeah, but Vargas hits the post when he goes through one-on-one. Yeah. You know, they clearly look like they could have scored.
They should have had shots on target.
Yeah, exactly. So then when you then see the sub on top of all that, mm-hmm. is that the bit that obviously gets the frustration?
Yeah, it's built up frustration, of course, but it's also feeding off the back of nervous energy within the stadium, because like you says, felt as if Hearts had control, felt as if they were in the ascendancy where they could get the next goal in the game. And then when your reply to that is to take off one of your best players of the season, certainly one of the best players of the last few weeks for Rangers, then of course I think they're going to be frustrated. For me, I think the booing was a little bit over the top, but I can certainly understand the frustration given that Conor Barron's certainly been one of the pluses of Rangers' season. So it's surprising to see him come off the pitch in a period of the game where Rangers didn't have much control, and he's the one in that sort of midfield area that's great at getting the ball back and try to regain Rangers' control. Mm-hmm.
I get that. Obviously, I think Hugh said it last night, you cut people a little bit of slack, because I'd like to see any of us going in a foreign language and having to do all these press conferences and these interviews and so on. So you get the point Philippe Clement's trying to make. He's just trying to say, look, there are other reasons. I've seen some fans take a touch of umbrage in social media because it's like, well, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
is that an unfair reading of what he said in response to that?
I tend to agree with you. His grasp of the English language is better than my grasp of his language.
I would say so.
But there are still little flaws in it. I don't think he meant the fans don't understand. I think
fans are stupid. It's not that sort of thing.
No, it's just we haven't told them the whole picture type thing of what the sports science department do and how we manage their minutes and what triggers there are for players to come off. I've no problem with substitutions. If the manager, any manager, wants to make a substitution for issues of, you know, form, or he thinks it's a more attacking option or a more defensive option, that's fine. But it kind of rankles with me a wee bit when you don't think it's the manager who's making the changes. You think it's sports scientists who are making the changes.
Just a quick word on your other old team, who you also wouldn't celebrate against, you told us, Hearts. The pitch, the table still doesn't look good. They're obviously down there. Seen signs of life, though, from elements of that performance?
Yeah, I have. Not even for that performance. I thought the first half performance on Thursday night against Heidenheim was exceptional. I thought, you're playing against a team that's doing very well in the Bundesliga, obviously finished high enough last year to be in Europe. And I thought in the first half were excellent. I even thought in the derby the week before, I seen a lot of positive signs, although they didn't get the win. So it's three games in a row where they've not actually got the result that maybe their performance is merited. But I think, without doubt, I think you can see a clear philosophy in what Neil Critchley's trying to do with Hearts. And again, I thought they carried that over to Ibrox. Like we said, had a lot of control, had loads of periods of the game, probably didn't offer enough going forward, which, to be honest, is a little bit worrying with Hearts this season, because you do feel as if Lorne Shanklin isn't firing, he's not the main man, where's the other sources of goals going to come from?
How long does he get? Because he's had one goal all season. We speak regularly in this show about James Tavernier's form and how he doesn't merit a regular place in the Rangers team now. How long before Neil Critchley makes a decision that, you know, he goes with Kenny Vargas, with Forrest Spittle and Danda behind, and he makes a decision to leave Lawrence out?
Well, what I will say is I've watched a fair amount of Hearts actually this season. I think, in terms of the criticism of Lorne Shanklin's performances, I think it'll be fair at times. I actually think his performances over the last couple of games has been a lot better.
I thought he was really good yesterday.
I thought he was really good against Heidenheim. The only thing that was missing was that goal. Yeah. But you see the opportunity that he puts himself in, the position he takes up in the pitch. So again, I think the level of performance for me is enough for him to stay in the team. I think he's got loads of ground with the Hearts fans to stay and continue and have faith that he can find that goal scoring form. But don't get me wrong, I do think that, you always say, as a striker, that next goal, that first goal with such a doubt, is so important,
you know, for him. They've just lost two big games to nil, and the next big game is at home to Celtic on the telly on a Saturday night. It's a huge game for everyone. It's a huge game for Lorne Shanklin.
Okay, 01419511025. It's a good time to call. Whatever is on your mind tonight, share it with us, and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday is here, Roger Hanna alongside him, and both waiting for you. Come on down, let us know what you're thinking after the weekend. Always a very broad spread on a Monday night. Either your team did something that you enjoyed, did something that you didn't enjoy, the referee annoyed you, there's something else out there. Do give us a shout and let us know what you've got. I've got a full-time teaser for the guys as well. That's when you out there send the questions in to us and we try and come up with the answers.
There's been some crackers lately, Gordon.
This is a bit different.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Because it's full pressure on you, Andy Halliday.
Oh, no. I like that. Good.
So it's just a bit of a, just something a bit different. We wouldn't do a question like this every night, but I think you can all maybe have a wee go at it. I'll put you out your misery, right? It's that guy, the crazy pony. What an imagination he's got. Like, how you would come up with this. Did you know, Andy Halliday, you have played against, I'm going to make it easier for you, 5 players in your career who have more than 115 international caps? Who are they?
Can't believe it.
Listen, you can huff and shake your head, because the full question is 10 players.
You actually sounded like a crazy pony there. You made that noise.
10 players?
With a lesser bar. So I've upped the ante for you. You've played against 5 players with more than 115 international caps across your career. And Roger can help you out. Who are they? You must have been on the pitch at the same time in a competitive match. You listening to the caveats? You must have been on the pitch at the same time in a competitive game and for some reason only includes countries that have qualified for the World Cup in their history. But I'm sure that's fine. That seems like just a broad safety net for the crazy ponies question.
Kasper Schmeichel.
No.
Oh. Stephen Davis.
Yes.
Have I played against? Oh, of course.
Hearts,
have I.
Hearts and Rangers. He's got 140 caps. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to need Roger big time here.
You need Roger to answer questions about your own
definitely.
Career. Great. Okay. I mean, do you want me to tell you the reason that I changed it for you? And listen, thank you, Crazy Pony. I do.
I want to do the 10 myself.
I'm going to tell you the one name is to tell you why it's a bad idea. Do you remember for Blackpool against Nottingham Forest playing against the well-known Chilean Gonzalo Jara?
No.
Exactly, right. He's got 115 caps.
No.
So we've tweaked it.
Good player.
To make it the five other players above him in the list.
I don't remember Big Gonzalo.
To state the obvious, the five we're looking for here are
Scottish.
No, just well known. Really well known. Right, Janice is on the line. How are you, Janice?
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I was actually just wanting to phone up because I'm a Kamarlock fan. Mm-hmm. I've been on the show before, spoke to you a couple of times, even at the football. And I just want to say how proud I was of my team yesterday. They were absolutely amazing. From start to finish, we got to about the 70th minute and they looked legless. We've not had the best season. I've been to a few games that have just been awful. But they really pulled it out of the bag yesterday. We didn't get the result, but they left everything on the park. You can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, it always does get lost. So a bit of credit to Kilmarnock for the performance, Roger. They were excellent, weren't they?
Yeah, actually, they look at the Premiership table this morning. It staggered me that Kilmarnock are still in the bottom section. You consider they beat Rangers, they had that remarkable win the first time they went to Dens, and the way they played yesterday, they'll be fine. They'll get into the top six. They had a lot of excellent performances yesterday, led by Corey Ndaba, who I thought was great in that sort of hybrid role between defence and midfield. Matty Kennedy shone again on a day when the other winger, Danny Armstrong, was missing. Kilmarnock had a lot of good stories within the game. It's no disgrace that they didn't get a point. They will be fine when they kick on after the international break.
The man-to-man thing is something Derek McInnes has tried a number of times up against Celtic, even in his Aberdeen days, Andy. There's that really harsh bit that says, well, it didn't work because Celtic won, but you know what I mean? It obviously worked to a point. And it was quite interesting to follow his thought process throughout the week, because he spoke a couple of times last week about watched Atalanta, watched Aberdeen, watched Leipzig, and thought Aberdeen sat off Celtic, played from a shape, as he put it, and lost 6-0. RB Leipzig obviously tried to get after Celtic, lost convincingly. So what do you do? And you're Kilmarnock as well. Which one do you do? So actually it was something a bit different.
It was. And listen, what it takes to play man-for-man football against a team with more quality than you and more athleticism than you, it takes 100% concentration and unbelievable fitness levels. And I thought Kilmarnock, certainly in terms of fitness levels, showed incredible levels of intensity and fitness levels throughout the full game. And I only really feel the only sort of moment, real moment, that they dropped that concentration, I can't even remember who it was, if it wasn't Dabba that drops his runner for the Nicholas Kuhn second goal. And I do think that has been I've talked about it loads of times, I think that's been a difference in Celtic this side. They're not afraid to go in behind, they're not afraid to run in behind and play in behind and make it a bit more unpredictable for teams. But I'm going to use a Stuart Kettlewell phrase that I'm going to take a lot of stick for.
Oh,
but
you're getting fined for this.
Definitely. But Stuart Kettlewell talks about pressure as a playmaker. In basic terms is you can steal the ball in certain areas of the pitch, it's a playmaker, it's a good chance. For me, that was so apparent watching Kilmarnock yesterday. You look at O'Malley Watkins' chance comes from pressure on Hatate in the middle of the pitch. Matty Kennedy's big chance comes from stealing the ball off a Callum McGregor at the edge of the box. And there was four or five numerous occasions where the amount of pressure they put Celtic under in certain areas of the pitch and won the ball back lent them having real threats. And Gordon, amazingly so, another Hugh Keevan's favourite, having more XG, more shots, more corners than Celtic. Something that we don't say very often, that's for sure.
Pressure is a playmaker. Honestly, who's in charge of the fines at Fir Park?
Me. No, it's not me.
I thought that was the B side to Rhythm as a Dancer.
Because I don't think you can be quoting your manager's phrases on here. Was it Jim Goodwin said that young Owen Sturton would get dogs abuse because he ran over to the manager when he celebrated? An experienced pro like yourself, have some shame. Janice, Derek McInnes was, I guess, a little bit frustrated at a few moments. Did you think Rayo Hatate should have been sent off?
Well, I did. I know he tried to pull out, and it wasn't aggressive, but he wasn't in control either. And on that surface, you know, it either sticks or runs, right? So I was right in front of it. I sat just behind Derek McInnes to the right-hand side. So it was right in front of me. And my first thing was, it's a red. It's a red. I seen that he'd try to pull out. I'd seen it. But he wasn't in control. And how it went to VAR, and then for Don Robertson to say, oh no, it wasn't a red, I don't get it.
It's well, funnily enough, I maybe misrepresented Derek McInnes there, because his response to it was quite an interesting one. Roger Ray said, he said, like, his initial reaction is he doesn't really think it's a red.
Yeah.
But then he said, because the VAR pictures usually look worse, he then expected it to be one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fair. I understand that.
I kind of
get.
But then at the same time, obviously the real test should be the error has to be seen then as a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't think it's a red initially, then, you know, it's a kind of higher bar to do you know what I mean by that? Like,
yeah,
increase it to red. Janice says out of control. Listen, we don't agree. We'll never agree here. We pick our side. We get really entrenched in it, especially dependent what team you support. Is it okay to just sort of say on that one that if it's a red, you can understand it, and if it's a yellow, you can also understand it?
Yeah.
That's kind of the view you guys took earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did say when it went to VAR, I was fully expecting. When it goes to a VAR check, I was expecting a red card
because of that point of contact.
Because of the point
about.
Of contact, it's so high. It's his knee. It's just below his knee. But again, it's something that I'm quite happy for that to be a yellow card. I don't think there's too much for. I don't think Liam Donnelly is going to get injured from that tackle, such as the force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Because
it's not endangering an opponent.
No,
it didn't. Football used to be fun. You didn't have to forensically analyse the mechanical movements of tackles and all that stuff. But he does lunge, and it's almost it feels like he lands just before it, so it becomes like a kind of dangly leg. Is that where the force comes out of it? You know, if you're still off the ground or you're going through, is that maybe what the ref? And we're just second guessing.
Exactly.
I think there's no follow through either, which I think is important. I think if he follows through with that extended leg, there's a lot more force, there's a lot more impact, and there's a lot more danger.
An impetus to.
Yeah.
This is the great thing about the live stream. You can all start doing this.
All this.
Oh, I can't do that again.
Whatever.
Not doing that again. No chance.
You got yourself in enough trouble last week. So you're confident, though, Janice, performances like that, you'll start to fire up the table?
100%. I mean, I've never been in any doubt. Derek McInnes has got us to places that for Steve Clarke I didn't think would ever happen again. So I've never had any doubt about Derek McInnes and what he does and what he doesn't do. Always had his back and always thought he's a proven manager. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that Rangers pick up the points so they're not looking at him. for a replacement. So every time a Rangers score comes through, I'm like, oh, please say the one.
I've never thought about that before.
See,
hoping that teams that might look at your manager, you then have to hope that they keep winning so they don't come and look at your manager. That's a new one to be seen.
See this, Andy, listen to this. Janice supports an off team, but she still celebrates when Rangers win.
There you go.
Absolutely not.
There you go.
Can we spin this out as long as we spun out his tackle on Callum McGregor?
No,
that's
no
the
chance.
Question.
No.
Think it'll be dire death before then.
The only thing that would
we've
stop
reset
us.
The monitor. We need a countdown when that gets mentioned. We've just reset it because it's just been mentioned
that's
again.
True.
That tackle.
We need Gordon Dale into Panto to give us something else to talk about.
It's like that, you know, like you see these big factories and it'll say X amount of days since our last accident or whatever.
We should do that.
I don't mind that at all. That's a good idea from you. Well done. Thank you to Janice. 01419511025 is the number. As always, you can tweet. We would love you to tweet us. And I'm sure you're all buzzing about the international break that's coming up as well. So, you know, this could be your last chance to get some proper club football stuff off your chest. Don't let it go passing by. Let's quickly reflect on that breaking news that's not so breaking anymore because it was about an hour ago. I did wonder, Roger, you just get a feel for these things. If tonight when you two joined us, we would be reacting to David Gray losing his job. It's no disrespect to him. It's just, you know, like I say, you get a feel for it when it, yeah, when it's maybe at that stage.
Certainly at the start of an international break, that tends to be the time that, that teams axe managers.
What do you make of the, well, it's the opposite that's happened. Hibs have communicated on the issue, but to say
it's what old fellas like me used to call the vote of confidence.
No, the dreaded.
The dreaded vote of confidence.
So is this just a normal vote of confidence or a dreaded?
What it means is that David Gray will be in the dugout when they go to Dundee a week in Saturday evening. I think the Hibs board, Ben Kinsell, the Gordon family, the Black Knights desperately want David Gray to succeed because they put David Gray in the job in the summer. I think at the minute David Gray, despite the dreaded vote of confidence, is living a game-to-game existence as a Hibernian manager. If they lose at Dens Park a week on Saturday, I'm not so sure the vote of confidence will count
seriously
for very much.
What was the point then?
Does it last long, that?
That can't be the case.
The vote of no confidence?
Listen, the man across the city, Stephen Naismith, learned all about it earlier on in the season. If you keep losing games, you lose your job. I think, what was he, eight or nine games? Hibs are now sitting at seven and have lost four of them. Hibs have just gone through, if you were to look at fixtures and target fixtures and say, right, we'll pick up points here, you're not going to get much better than at home to Dundee United, away to Ross County, and at home to St. Mary's. No disrespect to those clubs.
A PR perspective, then, see, the board are already getting a lot of heat. If they bin club legend David Gray one game after publicising to the world that they're not going to, that feels like the biggest own goal of all time.
This is football, Gordon. This is what happens. Have you ever met the Hibernian board?
Again,
what's the last 5-0?
Okay, I didn't quite take scoreline into account here.
No, but listen, strange things happen in football. Hugh actually touched, Jim Goodwin was mentioned in the show at the weekend, and the manner of Jim Goodwin's departure from Aberdeen was mentioned, that 6-0 game at Easter Road.
And that was bizarre.
And Hugh says he should never have been in that position. He should have gone after Darvel. But a bit like Hibs now, Aberdeen wanted Jim Goodwin to succeed. They wanted to give him a chance, and he lost his next two games 5-0 to Hearts and 6-0 to Hibs.
Yeah, but their statement almost did. Their statement, if I remember correctly, Aberdeen's that week almost did advertise the fact that if it doesn't go right in the next game, it was a different statement. Don't make me look it up.
Trust me.
Anyway, we're disappointed with the poor start to our current season, like all Hibs supporters. Following the weekend's result, we held discussions as a group how we move forward. We continue to work tirelessly in our quest to improve performance, achieve results throughout this challenge. We support our head coach David Gray and his management team. All departments are under pressure. We recognise it's a hard time. We know we can do better. Together with Black Knight Football, we're working hard to make it happen. Andy.
It's a difficult one. I've watched that, obviously, again, played against Hibs. I thought they were very good against us, to be honest with you, in the first 45 minutes when we played them. I thought they were poor against Hearts. I thought Dundee United, I thought they were excellent for 70, 75 minutes. But such as the run they're in, that nervous energy within the stadium, they then sit deeper to try and preserve what they've got. Then we get that penalty that your mate has since says shouldn't have been a penalty, I believe.
Which
against
one's
Dundee United, the pull in the jersey for Max. Is that right?
No, the KMI panel. This is different.
Oh, sorry, William.
Mr. Colum to you has not yet addressed that one.
Here's one for you. One of the transfers of the summer, when Simon Murray left Ross County, tug of war between Dundee and Hibs. Dundee got him because they paid more. Hibs didn't push the boat out for Simon Murray. Wonder how Simon Murray will perform against them a week in Saturday night.
That'll be an interesting one. Can I actually tell you my favourite? Are we going to eat a break soon?
Depends how
I tell
good
you my favourite story for what I've just heard tonight. Have you seen what the next championship round of fixtures is?
It's an amazing start.
That is incredible.
Go and take it away.
First play second, third play fourth, fifth play sixth, seventh play eighth, and ninth play tenth.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I was going to say,
that's
think
never been happened before in world of football. There you go.
Never.
I'm telling you, that's never happened before.
How would you even find that?
It's almost like spinning tails on a Monday.
Nine times in a row. How would you even find that out? Somebody out there could. Do you know who could?
Crazy Pony.
Crazy Pony would know.
That's quite something, that.
That's unbelievable.
I agree with you.
I'll tell you something. See, if it was a teaser on a Saturday afternoon, Gordon Dale would be able to tell you after 10 seconds.
That's remarkable how good he is at them, eh? I don't know how he does it. Who was the one he pulled out his backside this week again? The who am I and with
Yusuf Malumbu.
Yusuf Malumbu, that's right.
No, I already know something's happened there.
Because he's always been a big fan of Yusuf's work.
The clues were I played under Paul Le Guin.
Yeah.
I played along. It was tough straight away. Ah, Yusuf Malone
played alongside Romelu Lukaku, Stephen Naismith,
and he's
played for two teams.
He's
in Scotland.
Proper adamant. There's no Ronan Keating involved.
That's what he says.
Speaking of teasers,
it's a bit Andy Halliday themed tonight. Can Andy Halliday name the five players he's played against in his career who have more than 115 international caps? Stephen Davis against Rangers for Hearts.
Salah.
Nope.
Steven Gerrard.
Nope.
Ah, has he not got 115 caps? Peter Cech.
Yes, 124.
Yes, finally.
Frank Lampard.
Nope. 115 is a fair whack, remember.
Yes. Robbie Keane.
Nope.
Good shout.
It's not a good shout.
Do you want me to give you a couple of hit the post sort of answers that you played against?
Gerrard's got to be one.
No.
And not in terms of hitting the post.
No, he's not even on the list, apparently.
You play against Wayne Rooney?
Here are your kind of closest ones from up here, ready?
No.
Ki Sung-yung.
Yeah.
110. Mm-hmm. Emilio Izaguirre, 111. Wow. I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the rest next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are into the final part of tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to squeeze in a call if you fancy it, so why not come on down and share whatever thoughts you took away from the weekend's action. Interesting teaser this, to say the least. The Crazy Pony is asking if Andy Halliday, with the help of you all, can name five players he's played against with more than 115 international caps. Quite an incredible list. Stephen Davis, 140. Peter Cech, 124. Any others come to you during the break?
Eden Hazard?
Yes, 126. Well done.
I honestly, I would have thought he wouldn't even near that caps.
Yeah, so
retired at 28.
Not bad.
I'll give you a wee clue now. The other two are from your time down south as well, because the other ones that you kind of missed up here, or that missed out on the list, sorry, Aaron Hughes.
Oh yeah.
Has 112 caps and played for Hearts. Cesc Fabregas, 110. You played against him down south. So the other two,
Gareth McCauley.
Nope. That one is
Chris Brunt. No.
A bit, you're in the right nick of the woods, sort of, with that one. Yeah.
Oh, I've got one. John O'Shea.
Yes, John O'Shea. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll get the other remaining one before we go. Anything else you want to whiz through before the end? What about, go on then, we had a joke about your handball and all that sort of stuff, but 7 points better off than this stage last season.
Mm-hmm.
On to 19, and you know, level up there with, is it Dundee United as well? You level with Rangers for a bit until they won last night. How are you assessing things at Motherwell as you head into this break?
Yeah, really good. Lot of positives. Still firmly believe there's areas we can be better in. Again, not trying to cry wolf, and I've mentioned that a few times, but I think injuries, I think we're kind of relying on a lot of the same bodies just now, just with the sort of lack of squad depth we've got. And I just think when everyone's fit, I think we've got loads of great options all across the pitch. But listen, all we can do is with the squad we've got just now, just try and win games of football, and I think we've done that really well. I actually think the game at the weekend, Roger was there, so he can tell me if he disagrees or not. I thought we created a lot more chances for open play, which I think is something we spoke about recently. I think we've been, you know, decent defensively. I think we've been a threat for set plays, but I feel as if we've, you know, not quite had the attacking impetus that we're looking for. But I thought at the weekend we could have scored four or five.
I think it's probably fair enough. I mean, you have an injury. It was a reshuffled side. I thought Steve Seddon, only a little fella, did well in it, kind of left centre back. It allowed Ewan Wilson to come back to what I think is his better position in the left. Coletta, I was quite impressed with.
He was excellent.
Did really well for the first goal. And Maswanisi, when he first came to the club, I thought, is he a winger? Is he a number 10? I actually thought right up top at the weekend, he's going to cause that pace and that movement is going to cause people problems. There was one when he looked as if he was getting clear, guilty of a wee clumsy touch, and allowed Barry Douglas to come around in the cover and take the ball away. But yeah, it was an improved performance. I was just surprised you didn't get sent off. You know why?
Why?
Next game's Ross County away.
Oh, you don't want to go there.
Oh, no, I don't mind a Dingwall trip.
Do you get a wee chat with Barry Douglas? I see, he's fair lost his accent in his time abroad, doesn't he? I see some clips of him on podcasts recently.
I had a good chat with the German boy. Yeah,
fair,
at the end of the
now. It's a wee clip.
He's definitely lost that Pollock accent, that's for sure.
Ah, listen, he's got to go continental at some point, I suppose. Again, Roger, we always do this when it's Celtic and Rangers, when there's a crisis, the team that does the good part of it misses out. So St Mirren, good win for them. You know, everyone's talking about him and David Gray, but for...
Listen, Stephen Robinson has had to wrestle with issues this season he would never have thought he would have to wrestle with. He is currently, or perhaps permanently, going to be without three players who he had at the start of the season. I think he's done really well to keep St Mirren's head above water. I mean, you can go to Hibernian and get a win like that. It can only raise morale right through the football club. He's done, they've done very well.
Yeah, listen, they got my result of the weekend for a very good reason. Like I said, 7 points in three games is great for any team outside the Old Firm. Aberdeen have kind of smashed that notion with how well they've performed this season. But yep, real upturning in fortunes for St Mirren. Actually watching the game, I thought it looked like a half-decent game in terms of the sort of highlights package we watched. Yeah. But fantastic 3 points.
The most convincing of the... Well, I suppose it was a toss-up between Aberdeen, although that game was at least a bit more back and forward. Dundee United...
Listen,
straightforward.
Jim Goodwin get another contract, another year added to his contract on Friday. I think it's going sort of slightly under the radar. Just what a good job he's done. You know, he was the manager who took them down, but they were sort of condemned before he got the job, if you like. He's brought them straight back up, and they haven't just consolidated. They've sort of scorched away. As Andy said, you know, levelling points with Motherwell, just tucked in behind the Rangers. They go to Ibrox next. And some of his signings in the summer have been, you know, terrific. Getting Jack Walton back in goal, really, you know, good move. And the lad from Wrexham, Sam Dolby, is beginning to look like a real threat up top.
He is a real threat. Obviously scored against us last midweek. Yeah. I thought he was a constant presence throughout the game. I think that is that 4 goals in his last 5 games now as well. Yeah. So proves he's still a real
good
fight.
Players around about Babunski, Savelle, Ferry, Adebayega, they've all added something.
And Aberdeen there to stay. Oh. You know, bouncing back from the 6-0 defeat.
It's a great story, you know. And was it you that mentioned earlier on, Andy? The crowds, getting the crowd, but 4 successive sellouts at Pittodrie. They've bought into the Jimmy Tillian dream. I'll tell you what, they're at St Mirren next. What a good game that'll be.
Well, I think what's kind of went under the radar with Aberdeen at times as well, listen, we know how fantastic they've started, and, you know, we talk about how strong some of the performance has been. The amount of times Jimmy Tillian has made proactive substitutions that have changed games. Yep. The amount of results they've got from his substitutions has been incredible. And yes, they were winning the game 2-1, but Simon Murray just got Dundee back into the game. Yep. Within a minute, he's 2 subs already making an impact.
I wanted to get a bit more time to explore this, and it popped up on Twitter again, and I just wanted to get your thoughts. How would Scottish football react? How would this show react if we had our very own David Coote situation? The referee videoed calling Jurgen Klopp names and insulting Liverpool. Maybe after having had a good night out on somebody's couch,
not only would the referee have to leave the country, he may have to leave the planet if that happened up here.
Imagine these phones.
What does your pal Wally think about it?
I couldn't possibly say. We've not spoken about it. We don't speak.
Also, another one, what would the nation think if we got Gordon Deer in a panto, and it's a real opportunity?
I think we could do it. I know, I think you're right. I think it's a fair note to end on. Right, let's try and round off the teaser as well. Can you name the 5 players Andy Halliday's faced in his career with over 115 caps? Stephen Davis, Eden Hazard, Peter Cech and John O'Shea. Matthew was thrown in, Kolo Touré, but that's wrong. Bradford against
Bradford.
Sunderland.
Kevin Coban.
Nope.
Oh, Larson.
Sebastian Larson. Well done. You got there in the end. Thank you, Andy Halliday. Thank you, Roger Hannah. And thank you for your calls and your tweets. And those of you watching on the live stream, those of you listening on radio, the ones that call in, those of you in it, thanks in advance to those who will then hear this later on the podcast. So wherever you get your podcast, much appreciated. As always, we are back tomorrow from 6. So enjoy the rest of your Monday night, and we will speak to you soon.